Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Thursday, everyone. Hope your Thanksgiving went well. We obviously didn't join you last week for that. Work week is almost over, and welcome in to Catching Up with Bob Labelle. I'm your host, Joe Perrello of SweetSports.com. I'm joined, as always, by the man himself, Mr. Bob Labelle. And, Bob, we're going to talk, the World Series is over, baseball season's over, but the Red Sox, when they're good, they're always a story. Well, I guess when they're bad, they're always a story, too, but a lot of shakeup in the roster, and obviously the biggest thing is Jacoby Ellsbury signing with the New York Yankees. Just give me your initial thoughts on that. What do you make of him leaving the Red Sox for the evil empire, so to speak?
Well, this is kind of a two-part story for, I think, most Red Sox followers. The one story is that, okay, he's leaving. We kind of all expected that. Yep. There had been a lot of talk about Seattle and not much talk about New York, although there had been some whispers. But then the other shoe dropped, and it was the Yankees, and I think that was kind of the instant shock to everybody that, okay, here we go again. Yeah. Johnny Damon was number one, and now Jacoby Ellsbury leaves the Red Sox and goes to the Yankees. It wasn't quite as much of a shock as some of the others, but it was a pretty good jolt, to tell you the truth. Not that he's leaving, but where he's going. Everybody talks about the contract. That is what it is. I mean, he's worth what the Yankees are willing to pay. It's a lot, but he's a good player. He's really, I wouldn't say he's, well, I don't know. He borders between good and really good. And he's one of the best leadoff people in baseball, and we all know his attributes. And playing in Yankee Stadium will help him. It's just kind of that little shock, but it shows the Yankee paranoia about, they don't want to sit through another 2013 and watch what happened here in Boston.
And like you said, I think most people kind of knew he was going to be gone after the season was done. The only reason I really see this as being a big story is, like you said, because he went to the Yankees, he went to the biggest rival, and the contract he was going to get, probably somewhere in that ballpark. I've always thought baseball salaries compared to other sports are a little bit nuts.
It's outrageous.
That's neither here nor there.
It's a lot nuts. But that's the way the game is today. And I think it sours a lot of people on the game. Now, when they get over the sticker shock, then they end up coming back and become fans again. But one of these days, somebody's going to kill a golden goose, and it's getting here, believe me.
Yeah, most definitely. And reports are coming out from guys like Eads at ESPN Boston talking about how the Red Sox were basically willing to go up to $120 million, but obviously it went far, far past that to $153
million. If the Red Sox, I think they really wanted to keep him, but I think they also wanted to be, true to their plan. And the Yankees are in disarray, and they're desperate, and they really need to find a way to climb out of that malaise that they're in. And I guess the easiest way, the quickest way, is to spend your way out. And if you can afford it, as they can, then they're going to spend their way out. And this was the first one. It won't be the last one.
No, I'm sure. This seems like it's just the tip of the iceberg of a winter spending spree for the Yankees, but we'll obviously see what happens with that. Some other guys have left, obviously Jarrett Saltillamacchia just started to learn how to spell his name, but now we got AJ Brzezinski coming in, and I got to learn how to spell his name now. So
very good.
What do you kind of make of that?
Well, I think that I think that they became disenchanted with Saltillamacchia. It was kind of like a process that seemed to be, he wasn't really getting a whole lot better defensively. He wasn't hitting from the right side of the plate. He was, a very good left-handed hitter, and I think became a fan favorite because everybody on this team was a fan favorite.
Yeah.
And I think that's the disappointment that, okay, so these guys aren't going to be the same as they were last year. But, I mean, the cold hard facts were that the two games they lost in the World Series, Salta LaMacchia was right in the middle of the losing plays.
Yeah.
And, you know, was guilty of errors on both of those plays. Well, you know what? Unlike Ellsbury, who really rose to the occasion in the postseason, Salta LaMacchia was, whether it's fortune or misfortune or whatever, was in the wrong place at the wrong time and made the wrong play. And I think you say it's not fair to put so much emphasis on that, but you know what? These are the games you have to win. These are the games you have to perform in. And I just think that they had an opinion about Salta LaMacchia, and it wasn't helped by his play in the World Series. And so I do think they became a better club overnight by signing Pruszynski for 1 year with him and Ross being the catching duo. I think that's a very good combination, very good combination.
Yeah, and at least defensively, it certainly looks like an upgrade.
Defensively, yes. And, you know, you get a left-handed catcher and a right-handed catcher in terms of hitting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't care what – one of the biggest hits in this whole World Series was David Ross doubled down the left-field line. And so they are – they're, and you know what? He became – it's interesting. He became the starting catcher with three games left in the World Series. So it was – he was – he became the guy when it had to. He had to be the guy, and that's. I don't think there are too many people really complaining about this. And Salta LaMacchia signs in right away in Florida, so he knew it was coming. Obviously, those conversations were going on, and I think he was just waiting to see what the Red Sox were going to do.
Yeah, and I think this is one of those cases where it kind of works out best for everybody. The Marlins really need offense. Really need some oomph. I think he fits in better in Florida. Well, the Miami Marlins, not. I can't ever call them that. I still call them the Florida Marlins.
That's
but
right. You know what? Right.
I think he'll fit in a little better there, and you know his strengths kind of line up with what they need a little better than what the Red Sox need. So I think it kind of worked out for everybody in that case. And unless you see him in the World Series, it's not going to really come back to bite you either way for either team. Lastly, I want to look a little bit at the road ahead. You know, they still got some guys hanging out there. They want to bring back Napoli and Drew. I guess.
Well, I think so. I mean, I think they offered them, you know, they tendered them the $14 million. They will get a huge draft pick for Ellsbury. I mean, you can't stick a draft pick in your leadoff position, but it is something for the future, and it's a big piece for the future. So that's a little payback, and then you don't get anything for Salta LaMacchia because they didn't tender him a contract. But Drew and Napoli are out there, so we'll see what happens. I would not be opposed to those either one of those coming back.
Yeah,
a lot of people.
And Drew, it's kind of looking like Drew coming back might actually happen now. It seemed like he was going to get some big money elsewhere. It hasn't really materialized. The Red Sox have got kind of another shopping list. They're talking about maybe even kind of getting in the Curtis Granderson fight.
Yeah.
Do you see them bringing in any high profile guys?
I don't think that's a bad move. I mean, if they can, if they can do a deal with Granderson, I'd love to see him come here. And they have their budget. They're not going to panic because Ellsbury left for the Yankees. Not like they panicked when the Yankees signed Teixeira. I think that's when they panicked and went after Gonzalez and Crawford and really overkill on the rebound. And I don't think they're going to panic any way, shape, or form just because Ellsbury left and went to the Yankees. But Granderson, I think, would be really a good get if they could deal with it financially. But that's their issue. I don't care what they pay him. I'd love to see him.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's not your money, you don't really mind so much.
I really don't care, right. When people start talking about these contracts, what's the point about the contracts? People are all of a sudden... this was never an issue. It was all about the players. But anyway, I have no idea what their Red Sox budget is, and I don't care what it is. I just want to see them become the best possible team, which a team like last year would be that's going to be a memory worth cherishing because it's just not going to happen again like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was obviously a special run. You mentioned kind of, you know, their budgets and what they pay. You know, I think in football where there's a hard salary cap and things like that, you worry about signing one player to a lot of money because it limits your flexibility. But when you're a team like everyone's talking about the Yankees, like, oh, they're going to be sorry, you know, when they're tied to Ellsbury down the road. Like, are they really? Is it really going to affect the Yankees' ability to sign
players? No, you're right. That's a very good point, Joe. And that's, yeah, people say that, well, you know, he's a base stealer and legs are going to be the first thing to go. And in the fifth year of his contract, the Yankees are going to start feeling him deteriorate. You know, well, I think they don't know that. They're not worried about that. They're worried about next year.
Yeah. Now they're worried about getting the ship right in the short term because they've got a host of issues. He can fix some of them, but like you said, they're probably going to spend a little more money.
Plus, one of their issues are the lower ratings on the S network and empty seats behind home plate. These are issues. I'm sure they wish they were back in their old stadium. Not that the new palace isn't special, but you know it was expensive. But that's who they are. That's their deal.
Yeah, no, they spend money, but the Yankees, with few teams in sports, have I read something. I think it was in Forbes that can maximize their value when they're winning, like the Yankees. So for the Yankees, spending money to win, it's worth it for them. So
that's a very good point. I don't talk to many people that read Forbes, so this is good for me.
Oh yeah, well, you know. Every now and then I read something other than sports, Bob. I think we're going to we'll cut this week off a little bit short. I got to run, you know, I got to do some errands around the house and whatnot, but thanks so much for joining us.
Ever since you got married, you're just not the same guy. I'm not saying you're any worse. I'm not saying better or worse, not at all. I'm just saying not the same. But that's okay. I still love you.
Thanks, Bob. Love you, too. And that is what happened. And you're going to have a special, possibly a special video for us next week instead of your blogs.
You and I need to talk about this. All right?
Obviously. All right, Bob. Well, great to talk to you, and I'll catch you in the next couple of days.
Okay, Joseph. Thank you very much, buddy. Thanks.
And thank you, everybody, for listening in at home. This has been Catching Up with Bob Lavelle. I'm Joe Perrello, SweetSports.com. We'll see you next week, everyone.